Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined as always by Kent Steinbeck. And Kent, we're coming to everyone from the epicenter of evangelicalism. Yes, we're right here at Herbst. It starts right here.
The center.
It is. The ripple effect is going out from around the world.
Here and goes out.
It does. So it's just a privilege to be here with you at Herb's House Coffee Shop. And Kent, today we're in Proverbs 10, verse 3. Proverbs 10, verse 3, and the title of this is A Fulfilled Life. And Kent, everyone wants to be happy and content and filled with peace and joy. And the problem is people look for it in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that it's found in the Lord himself. But I want to read this proverb, Proverbs 10, verse 3. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will reject the craving of the wicked. Again, this requires some thought as to what does this actually mean? He says, the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger. What does that mean? Well, the righteous are those who have been justified by faith and who therefore are living a righteous life. And he says, the Lord will not allow them to hunger. So that means that the Lord will be the fulfillment of their hunger and that he will provide for them. And I think the hunger here does not refer to a physical hunger, though it could, because some of these next proverbs will talk about working hard and you will not hunger. So it could have a fulfillment in that sense, but I think it goes deeper. I think it's talking about the hunger of the heart, especially that the Lord will satisfy the righteous as we live a righteous life and pursue him.
That's good.
That we will be filled with joy and peace and fulfillment. There'll be purpose and meaning to our life. And the reason I would say that is to contrast it with the second half of this verse, which says, but he will reject the craving of the wicked. Well, now we know that he allows the wicked to eat. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, and their crops are watered just like the righteous farmers' crops are watered. So I think this goes deeper than just craving for food. I think it's craving for those things that that are the longings of the heart. But the cravings of the wicked are really lustful desires of the flesh and yearnings for the things of this world that are illicit. And the cravings of the wicked lead them to ill-gotten gain, like the previous verse said. And it leads them to lying so that they may fulfill their cravings, and stealing so that they may fulfill their cravings, and even going so far at times as to kill in order to fulfill their cravings. But this says God will reject the cravings of the wicked. They will never find what will truly satisfy them as they are looking in the things of this world, because whatever it is they have is never enough. And whatever it is that they have will never truly satisfy. It's only the Lord who will satisfy the hungers of the righteous. And I think this is the deep longings of the heart for what only God can provide, which again is things like joy and peace and fulfillment and contentment. Admittedly, though, it does include even God feeding the righteous, though it's not a guarantee, and this is certainly not a open door for prosperity gospel by any means. So, Kent, we need to talk about this proverb. It's a little bit of a challenge to get our hands all the way around it, but go ahead.
Well, I have one thought, Steve.
Yeah, hit
Steve,
me.
Do you think this works? I've often had a saying that if you buy the world, you get the world. Think that applies here?
Yeah, absolutely. And a round world will never fit into a triangular heart.
Yeah.
Meaning a Trinity-shaped heart. Mm-hmm. the world can never satisfy. It's only when we're satisfied with the Lord can we enjoy things in the world.
Yeah.
And I think we can enjoy possessions. Mm-hmm. We just can't live for them as our highest end and to crave for them. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Yeah. Would the craving of the wicked fall into the lust of the flesh, as in the boastful pride of life?
Absolutely. 1 John 2:16. Mm-hmm. Absolutely it does. And the things of this world, as you have wonderfully brought out for us, it's just not going to truly satisfy. And here it says the Lord will reject the craving of the wicked. If the Lord rejects it, you're never going to find it in the things in this world.
So we know that the unbeliever, the non-Christian, they live for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life, everything that the world has to offer. Speak about the true believer. Do they still battle those things, those cravings?
Oh, yeah.
How does that work for the true believer? Because we'd like to think, well, the true believer doesn't have that problem.
I mean, yeah. Well, Kent, now you put your finger on a live nerve here. Yes, we as believers, we live in this world and we are surrounded with the glitter of the things in this world. And we can be pulled into that vortex of not being content with what I have, to always want. I mean, you've got a car and then they come out with the next year model. And it's just like, wow, I've just got to have the next year model. Or you're living in this house and it's just like, well, if I just had one more bedroom or if I just had another bathroom. And it's just kind of like we just can't be settled, you know, where we are. Nothing wrong with having a house with another bedroom or the latest car. It's just, if that's a craving.
And believers can have these cravings.
Yeah, we can. I want to say can have that. And we all have our chinks in the armor.
Yeah.
And we all have our weak spot. It's just in different areas with different people. I mean, with some men, it could be a fishing boat. With others, it's a gun.
Yeah,
with somebody else, it's, you know, whatever it is. And so we
new golf club.
Oh, Kent, that's a little close to home. That's just a little close to home. So, you know, the practicality of this, Kent, is what we need in our life.
Yeah.
And it really speaks to being satisfied and content with what I have, with where I am. And this does not take away our competitive drive to want to do better and to provide for our families more or our grandchildren or whatever. And Proverbs even talks about how a father wants to leave an inheritance for his children. So there can be noble reasons and to provide for the poor and to give to the Lord's work.
But if we're to live, what you're saying is, and the Bible's saying here that if we're living, if we're saying, I get up every morning and I've got to get this, I'm living for this. I've got too much emphasis on everything I want or need to have. That's where we've got a battle as believers, you're saying, to get,
it is
to
a
get
battle.
Away from that. And to seek the righteousness.
Yeah. We've got to also become givers and not just consumers.
Yeah.
And to be always, even when we're wanting to acquire things, it's so that I can give to other people and to support missionaries and to give to God's work and all of that. And Kent, that's a battle that we all face.
Let me ask you, maybe I'm stretching, but
does
it apply to not just material, but positions?
If
I were to say, you know, I really want to be elevated to this, or I want to get this, or I need to be in this position. Is that part of this?
Absolutely it is. And the hunger for prestige, the hunger for power, the hunger for influence over others.
Not being satisfied.
And not being satisfied with where God has placed me in life. And the temptation is to then begin to either cut corners to get to where you are craving to be, or to pander to people, or to sacrifice principle or integrity instead of being content with where I am and with what I have. And that's a challenge.
Yeah.
And so it's not wrong to have things. Mm-hmm. What's wrong is for things to have us. Mm-hmm. Is probably the most succinct way to put that. So, Kent, there's so much more we could even say about this, but suffice to say, the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will reject the craving of the wicked. So thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I'm certain that this speaks to your heart because it's spoken to my heart, and I'm sure to Kent's as well. And I just pray that the Spirit of God will help you internalize this in your soul and that you will walk in a way that honors the Lord. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.